everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful II. This is a very special listener episode dedicated to Lee, Jillian, and Jillian's team, as well as Dee. Thank you for suggesting such a great creature, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. For the resources used in this episode, along with how to request your very own animal and episode, it will be covered at the end and also is available in the description or show notes down below. If you love Relax with Animal Facts and would like more of it, including exclusive episodes about extinct, mythological, and other creatures, all of that information is in the description as well. Now, as we are beginning to gear down a little bit, there are two things that I ask of you. As always, I want to make sure that your shoelaces are double knotted, especially for where we are going today. And the second thing is to do your best impression of Jell-O. We carry a lot of tension day to day. For some, it will be in the head, for others, in the shoulders. Regardless of where that is, we really don't need any of it where we are going. And so do your best Jell-O impression, and allow your mind to wander and journey with me into the tropical forests where the II resides. For those of us that do not travel to the forests of sub-Saharan Africa all that often, just listen to the symphony that this natural orchestra is performing all night long, every night. It is in these same forests with this lovely accompaniment that we will find the II. The II is a rare lemur that is native to Madagascar. They bear a scientific name that might take two breaths to say, Dobyntonia madagascariensis. This rare lemur is the world's largest nocturnal primate. Now, many of us may be able to give a list of primates, but it is important for us to dive into exactly what gives a creature that distinction of primate. There are a few characteristics that describe nearly all primates. One is a large brain when compared with their body size. Another is vision being more immediately used or important than their sense of smell. Opposable thumbs that allow hands to grasp very easily. Generally fewer offspring and often only one at a time. We have learned about other creatures that are not primates that can sometimes have hundreds or thousands of offspring at one time. They will often have longer lifespans when compared to many other creatures and complex social groups. So creatures like lemurs, lorises, tarsiers, monkeys, apes, and humans are considered to be primates. So it is a very diverse order of mammals that have certain subdivisions, but those are some of the main ones. And we heard earlier that they are nocturnal. Well, that is exactly why we are walking around here at night. Nocturnal describes creatures that will use the nighttime to hunt and move around and get about their business, as opposed to creatures that are diurnal and move around mostly during the daytime. So they are native to Madagascar, inhabiting a wide variety of habitats. But these variety of habitats will oftentimes have some similar characteristics. One important bit is that there will always be an abundance of trees. So they will inhabit deciduous forests or primary and secondary rainforests, sometimes mangrove forests, They are considered to be arboreal creatures, which means they will spend the vast majority of their time up high in trees. The aye-aye is typically described as a squirrel-like primate or some sort of rodent-like primate. This has little to do with the fact that they are nocturnal and mostly solitary, but it is because of their physical appearance that is not all that common. Some articles describe their appearance as bizarre or odd, and with many of the creatures that we have seen so far, this description is not necessarily unfair. They do look very unique. They have rodent-like teeth that will grow throughout their life, these very long, bony fingers that look more skeletal rather than muscular in appearance. But all of these characteristics are going to play some sort of an important role in their life in Madagascar. One of the distinguishing characteristics of the aye-aye, besides its bizarre outward appearance, is that interesting hand structure, or rather unique structure. It has an unusually long third digit. It may be a helpful note that when I use the word digit, I mean finger. Anatomists, biologists, and other sorts of ists in the realm of science will prefer to use the term digits to describe fingers. So when I say first digit, I mean the thumb, the second digit is the index finger, and the third is the middle, and so on. As to how they will use this unusually large third digit, we will find out in just a moment. They are about 40 centimeters or 16 inches long. This will exclude their very bushy tail that is about 55 to 60 centimeters or 21.6 to 23.6 inches. So their tail is longer than their actual body. And they will be covered in a very coarse, long, black or dark brown fur. It has those very large eyes, those rodent teeth, and a short face. All of their fingers have small pointed claws, which will of course play a vital role in how they maneuver in their arboreal setting. Arboreal, as we learned, describes creatures that spend the majority of their time in trees, comes from the Latin word for tree, which is arbor. Their fingers will have these claws as well as their toes, except for the large, opposable, flat-nailed great toes. Having any sort of opposable limb here in the digits means that they have a significantly better grip than creatures without them. Having opposable thumbs gives something the ability to create opposition as a muscular movement. You can create opposition because most of you here, I assume, have opposable thumbs. If you take that opposable thumb of yours and push it towards your pinky, that is the muscular movement of opposition. Our having this ability makes drinking a piping hot cup of hot chocolate a lot more enjoyable and less stressful. We can focus on the chocolatey notes of what we are drinking and not on the smell of our legs being seared to medium rare. So the aye-aye having this biological advantage is going to be very significant, especially as a creature that prefers to maneuver around trees that require plenty of gripping and movement. They're going to weigh about 4 pounds, which is about as much as you would expect them to weigh. And there is a lot going on behind the scenes with the aye-aye. Let's go straight to their hunting. The aye-aye is one of two animal species that hunts for food using what is known as percussive foraging. This is a method of hunting in which the animal will tap and make a hole in a tree to find prey. So if the aye-aye was to play an instrument, it would probably choose the drums. One only wonders whether the aye-aye would be tapping on beat or off beat, or maybe even tapping with some kind of a jazz swing. But regardless, they will tap on trees up to 8 times in 1 second. They will spend between 5 and 40% of their foraging time just tapping and gnawing on wood to make those holes necessary to catch their prey. Now, how they tap is very relevant. We learned earlier that they have this very long third digit on their hands or their limbs, and this very long third digit is specialized for this very function. And the eye seems to have no qualms in participating in this form of musical hunting. This percussive foraging leads some to conclude that this is actually a form of echolocation. We have learned about echolocation in other creatures such as bats, and as the name suggests, it is broadly defined as a mechanism by which some animals will use sound to locate things in their environment. So when the eye is tapping trees and trying to find cavities and detecting the vibrations and movements of insect larvae inside those cavities, they are using the ridges that are on the insides of their ears to act like some sort of audible lens and allows them to gather a lot of information from sound and locating, of course, their prey. So I have no scruple about saying the eye uses echolocation as a mechanism, but the fact that the eye is so unique with its physical characteristics, its behaviors of percussive foraging being one of two species that engages in such foraging, they have eluded a proper classification since they were first discovered. Adding to all of the unique characteristics that we have learned about, the eye has a head shape, eyes, ears, and nostrils that resemble those of feline species. So is it a rodent? Is it a feline? Is it a primate? But we, of course, have arrived at the distinction of primate as being the one relevant distinction. They are not rodents, and they are most certainly not felines. But we can imagine that for the newer researchers, or for the first researchers that discovered this creature, how difficult it must have been to place the eye into known categories. I can only imagine what it would have been like for somebody to first see this creature as a researcher and to then tell stories of it later. If I was that researcher, I feel that many around me would have thought I was making it up. Maybe when somebody asked that first researcher what it is that they saw, they just shrugged their shoulders and said, "I don't know." But moving on, with that same middle finger that they use to tap on trees, they will also use to fish out the insect larvae under the bark. They will use that same digit for things like scooping out the flesh of coconuts and other fruits that are, of course, a staple of the Madagascar diet. After they eat and want to rest, they are able to rest horizontally or vertically. Oftentimes, they choose the route of hanging upside down entirely from branches. This is a truly peculiar animal. While they do spend the majority of their time in trees, they will sometimes travel on the ground. But in order to do so, they will raise their delicate clawed digits to avoid damaging them. And in this process, they gift the world with one of the strangest gaits or walking patterns in nature. After covering some of the patterns and behaviors of the eye, we can see why they would opt for a clumsy and strange gait if it means maintaining the health of their digits. That third digit is responsible not only as the main method by which food is scooped from the trees, but it is used as the locator of the food in the first place. Without these digits, the eye's ability to survive would be seriously hindered. And so they choose to run the catwalk of the tropical forests in Madagascar with absolute style, unabashed by all of the researchers looking at them. Now, if we were to wait out the night time and come back during the day, we could find the eye in certain areas where they are curled up in a ball-like nest, that is comprised of leaves and branches that they have gathered. The nests will appear something like closed spheres with just one entry point, and it will be situated in the forks of large trees that they spend their time in. Having these little homes will keep the sunlight out as much as nature allows, and provides, I'm sure, a cushy place to sleep. Let's talk about the communication of eyes. It was unfortunate for me to learn that the eye does not communicate in Morse code, and instead relegates their tapping to strictly foraging-related processes. They will opt for using brief cries, or sometimes screams indicative of protesting something, and will sometimes even let out whimpers that suggest some kind of a competition over resources. In terms of their social structures or social hierarchy, they are what is known as polygynandrous. This is a mating system that is multi-male and multi-female. It is quite common for many primate species to be comprised of one male and multiple females, but in the case of the eye, it seems that they opt for a more involved system. Both males and females will have multiple mates. The gestation periods, or the length of pregnancy for the females, will be about 5 months, and most commonly will bear one offspring at a time. It will stay in the nest for about 2 months and will continue to be weaned until they reach 7 months old. Up until the age of two, it will learn and stay with the mother until it sets out on its own and gaining the reproductive ability to have children on their own at around 3 to 3.5 years in females, while the males at around 2.5 years. This, I believe, is the first time we have covered such a mating system in any of our primates so far. Just another thing that makes the eye unique. There is, unfortunately, a lot of superstition that arises around the eye. There are many people that are native to Madagascar that consider the eye, the creature, as an omen of bad luck. And it is for this reason, maybe sometimes retaliatory or as some sort of preventative measure, the eye meets the unfortunate fate of being killed on sight by those who think that they bear some sort of bad luck. And so this kind of hunting, along with the degradation of their habitat, or rather the removal of it, have put some eye populations at risk. Today, they are indeed protected by law. Not too long ago, they had actually declared the eye to be extinct, but upon the discovery of another one, this statement of extinction was retracted, and today there are somewhere in the realm of 1,000 that are roaming the tropical forests of Madagascar. Now let us move on to the name of the eye. What does it mean, or where does it come from? Well, as we learned in the beginning, they are considered lemurs, and lemurs come from the Latin word lemures and mean ghosts or specters. It is supposed that this name was attributed to these creatures that we now know as lemurs because of their nocturnal habits and very stealthy movements, of course, both things that are attributed to ghosts and specters, particularly in the ancient world. The word eye seems to come from a Malagasy name, Alai. There are several proposed origins for the name. One states that the Malagasy people cried out Ali, Ali in fright when they were shown the animal. There is one very early report that suggests it had something to do with the cry of the animal itself. But of course, with the modern research done now, the eye never makes any sort of sound that resembles their name. And then there is the third proposed origin, which seems to be the most widely accepted or popular, and that is that the name I is a derivation of a Malagasy word that means I don't know. Some people suggest that these people either did not have a name for the animal or did not wish to even speak their name because of some sort of taboo that surrounded their luck and other superstitions. So while there is some contention on this topic as to the specific derivation of their name, I also would say that the third seems to be the most likely derivation option. And now let us move on to the review portion of the show. This review comes all the way from Great Britain, and I did not even have to look at where this user was writing from the moment I read that this listener had their username as LG Yorkshire. I was already in tune. And Yorkshire writes, "This podcast really helps my 7-year-old drift off to sleep. Highly recommend it." Thank you, Yorkshire, for taking the time to leave that review. I am so happy that the show can be of help to your 7-year-old and maybe even to you too. I suppose that anything that helps your child is something that will help you. I have gotten emails from other parents who have said that the show helps them sleep, but that is because their child can actually get to sleep on time with the podcast. And so thank you again, Yorkshire. I'm very glad that you and your 7-year-old are a very special part of the podcast. If you like the show, or if you dislike the show and want to tell me why, leaving a review is one of the best ways that you can both help the show grow and help it get better. I cannot think of how many positive changes I have made to this show because of really good or really critical feedback. The resources that were used in this episode came from nationalgeographic.com, britannica.com, animalia.bio, factanimal.com, and ielc.libguides.com. All of these resources are in the description and the show notes. If you would like to request your very own animal and get your very own episode, you can do so in 3 ways. You can send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. You can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the Animal Request tab. And lastly, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. If you would like more of the podcast and want full access to plenty of exclusive episodes with new ones coming out, you can visit patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just go to the description where there is a Patreon link. What an amazing creature we learned about today. With a name like II, we have to assume that there is a lot under the surface for us to explore, and so there was. This is truly one of the more peculiar creatures we have covered on the show, and I am so glad that we got the chance to cover it today. I hope you will all join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.